Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Well, good morning. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer here. Guys, how can you be the best possible dad for your kids? Joining us with some great advice on that is author and speaker Rick Johnson, the founder of Better Dads. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Very well. You have a new book out called The 10 Things Great Dads Do, and you point out that all good dads have certain qualities, and because of those qualities, their kids actually have a huge advantage in life. So what are some of the advantages that kids end up having with a quality dad?
Yeah, I think there's some obvious things that we all know about, you know, time spent together and things like that. But a story that I came across that illustrates this very well. My brother-in-law is a very successful voice actor in Hollywood, and he's not only successful professionally, but his family, he has a very great, good family, good marriage. Kids have turned out great, and he grew up with about five or six guys. And every one of them are successful in business, successful in their marriage, and successful with their families. And I thought that's very strange that you see a group of young men grow up together and all of them be successful. I mean, usually one or two people will be successful. And so I asked him, what was the deal with that? Why did he think that happened? And he said it was simple. He said, we all had dads that were involved in our life. And we all went to a church where there was a group of men who were heavily involved in speaking into our lives. And I thought, there's your recipe for success in life right there, is just having an involved dad and a group of men that speak into your life and help you to understand how to live life successfully.
Beautiful. And so those kids that grow up in those families, they're going to actually have a lot easier time in life on a variety of levels.
Well, they are, and one of the things that kind of caught me by surprise, see, I go around and I speak to thousands of men every year, and, you know, they're all pretty good dads probably if they're at an event that I'm speaking at, but occasionally I'll meet these guys that are just exceptional, you know, fathers, husbands, and so I've kind of kept track of a few of these guys over the years, probably a dozen of them, and for this book, I thought I would just ask them, you know, what they thought. One of the things that they came up with that really kind of caught me by surprise was, one guy said that he judges the health of his family by the amount of laughter that he hears. And I thought, wow, what a great thing. You know, I never really thought about it that way, but I think on so many levels, that is absolutely some great advice.
You know, humor is so key, and there's a lot of grumpy dads out there. And I admit, at times, I'm kind of a grumpy dad, but I love it when my kids laugh.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, for guys like me, I guess they came from a background where I didn't have, you know, I took it seriously. You know, this was serious business. I didn't want to be the kind of father figure that I had growing up. And so, yeah, so I think sometimes it can be hard to understand how important it really is for dads to provide that comic relief, if you will, that that everything is going to be okay. And, you know, we can laugh at ourselves and we can laugh at life.
You mentioned in your book there are six things that all happy families have in common. What are those, Rick?
So the first, and there probably is more, but these were some common things that I found with the men that I talked to. And one was having a family mission statement. And so maybe it's not even written down, but I think happy families know what their defining values and goals are. And that helps us to be able to, you know, it's hard to live up to expectations when we don't know what they are. And I think successful families, happy families, understand what those values and goals are, and there's no ambiguity about it whatsoever. The second thing is a family history. Researchers say that kids who know their family history believe they control their world and have a much greater degree of self-confidence. I remember my dad showing me a picture of my great-grandpa Olaf in his Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders uniform.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, I mean, that just, you know, I was busting the buttons off of my shirt, just understanding what my family history was and that there was some little seed of greatness in my family lineage, you know. Number three is weekly family meetings. Family meetings give kids a foundation on how things are going, encourage open communication, even allowing arguing, which is very healthy for kids to learn how to do. And which leads to number four, is how to fight right. Teach your kids how to negotiate to get their needs met and to resolve problems. And, you know, that works in business and in families, understanding how to negotiate for yourself. Number five was family dinner together. Research shows that children who eat dinner with their families are less likely to drink, smoke, do drugs, get pregnant, commit suicide, and develop eating disorders. Additional research found that children who enjoy family meetings have larger vocabulary, better manners, healthy diets, and a higher self-esteem.
It's amazing, Rick. The research on family meals is so powerful. And I've mentioned this once before. All of that great research, a lot of it done by Columbia University, they did a follow-up just in the last couple of years because of all the families using mobile devices. And they found that if just one member of the family, just one member of the family brings a mobile device to the dinner table, all of those protective factors disappear.
Wow.
Not good.
Isn't that something?
Not good.
That's unbelievable.
So what's number six?
So number six is just try. You know, of course, we all want happy families, but how many of us actually invest hours into that goal? You know, when we go to business, when we go to work, we have a project or a goal, and we sit down and we figure out a game plan and then implement strategies to help that come to fruition. And the problem is how many of us actually do that in our families and encourage all family members to really be conscious about taking steps to become a happy family. I think the effort alone matters a lot. So those are kind of the things that I think that a lot of happy families have, and it makes a lot of sense in that this would help contribute to a happy family.
Now, I'm sure we have a lot of guys listening, Rick, who work long hours and may also be involved in serving at their church, and then they've got hobbies and other things going on. Can you explain why giving your time is one of the most powerful things you can do for your kids?
Yeah, and I learned this lesson, you know, through trial and error for sure over the years. It's hard to be it's impossible to be a superstar at work and a superstar at home. And I think guys, if guys are working 90 hours a week, it's going to be really difficult to turn around and be a good dad, to be a great dad. So, yeah, I think women are finding this out too now that it's really difficult to spend, you know, those kind of hours. When before I became a writer and speaker, I owned an environmental engineering firm for 16 years. And when I started that, our kids were little. And I sat down with my wife and said, look, here's the deal. I can work at this job, you know, 100 hours a week, and we can live a very good lifestyle. We probably can become wealthy, but I'm not going to have any time for you and the kids. Or I can work this thing 50 hours a week, and we can live a middle-class lifestyle and probably have a pretty happy home life as well. And that's what we agreed to, and both of us lived up to that bargain. So, you know, life is about sacrifices and trade-offs, and I think, you know, time at work versus time we spend with our family is one of those trade-offs that we have to be conscious about.
Well, that's great advice, Rick, and I'm praying that the guys listening today heard that, because so many of us can tend to fall into that workaholic trap, and our spouses and our kids are the ones that suffer the most. And then all of a sudden we wake up one day and it's the Cats in the Cradle song by Harry Chapin, and it's
as guys, we show love, I think, a lot of times by providing and giving stuff to our families, and seldom do I think wives and kids think monetary gifts are as good as dad's presence. So,
In your book, you say a family should find a common cause, and I'm wondering, are you talking about in particular a way to serve others, or do you mean something else?
Yeah, I think serving others is always the best way that we develop ourselves as human beings, first of all. But I also know that, you know, any group that I've been involved with, if we found a common cause or a common goal that we could get behind, it drew us closer together. It made us more successful when we worked together, when we brought each other's, you know, different dynamics to play. And I think families who are able to do that, whether it's, you know, as simple as serving at a soup kitchen or whatever it might be, as a family, this is a cause that we believe strongly in, and we're going to take our time and energies to try to make a difference in the world. Very, very good for children to begin with, and we see that with teenagers especially. If you can get them involved in something that takes the emphasis off of them and puts it onto people that are less fortunate than they are, it transforms their entire lives and attitudes.
Now, Rick, you also stress the importance of surrounding yourself and your family with healthy friends and other couples. And I'm wondering, what are some of the things that husbands and wives, for that matter, should be looking for in those friends?
Yeah, Bill, you know, one of the things that I've really discovered over the years is the importance of having a strong base of friends and extended family, which is difficult in our culture today. We don't see a lot of extended family, people living together or close by each other. But I recently saw this come into play in our life. We are raising our four-year-old granddaughter, and we were just down at in Southern California at my sister's house, and we were trying to teach her not to go near the pool without an adult with her. And, of course, we're sitting at the table outside, and she goes over and tries to get into the pool. And so I ran over and grabbed her and reprimanded her and put her in a corner and told her to take a time out. And my brother-in-law, a few minutes later, got up and walked over and started talking to her. And I kind of thought at first maybe he was, you know, undermining my authority or something. But, no, he was over there. He was reinforcing exactly the values that I was trying to teach her. And coming from another adult who cared for her and that she trusted, really reinforced that message even better than I was able to do on my own. So I think it's really important to find people with the same value system that we have that can speak into our children's lives as a form of reinforcing our commitment to them as well.
Well, especially when they get to be teenagers and they don't want to listen to mom and dad, they may listen to another adult who they know cares exactly about them. Just speaking to a parents group about this in the last couple of weeks, one of the moms said, you know, as a Christian parent today, one of my big struggles is other Christian parents that are compromising, that are, let's say, for example, allowing their kids to drink alcohol at parties under their own roof and don't see a problem with that. And she mentioned several different things that I was shocked. And she said, gosh, these are church attending people that, you know, claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and yet they're living in ways that are really mirroring the culture, not setting themselves apart. And I said to her, you know, maybe it's time to find some new friends.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking, isn't it?
It is.
We have to interview not only our kids as friends, but their parents as well.
That is unfortunate. Rick, how can a dad help his kids find their way spiritually, especially during the teen years when you've got a teenager who's trying to find his or her identity?
Yeah, and I think, and I'm a big proponent of this anyway, just in life in general, but I think what we do speaks a lot louder than what we say. And, you know, when I talk to parents a lot of time on like raising kids of character, I'll ask them some questions like, you know, how many of you want kids that never, you know, do great in school, that have good friends, that never get into trouble, that, you know, go to church willingly and never complain? And of course, every parent in the place raises their hands, right? And I say, well, how many of you, you know, never complain about going to work, have really good friends, go to church without complaining? You know, and it's like all dead silence, right? Mm. So I think, you know, if we want our kids to be spiritually connected, we have to model that. It can't be just something that we talk about. And of course, as you said, when kids get to be teenagers, they have these incredible BS detectors, you know, where they can tell when anybody's any hint of hypocrisy at all. They pick up on it right away. And I was like, you know, when I went full time ministry, my daughter was 17, and she came to me one day, and I closed my business, and she said, "Dad, how are we going to live?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure God will provide for us, right?" And she thought a second, and she said, "Well, what if he doesn't?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, you know, we'll worry about that when the time comes." And over the years, she saw, you know, that we never missed a meal, we never missed a mortgage, and it didn't always add up, but, you know, God did provide. And that was, I think that was a huge lesson for her to understand, you know, in developing her faith. Today, she's a godly young woman, which, you know, several years ago, I might have been very shocked that would happen. So,
Wow. We live in a day when parents are doing everything they can to make sure their kids have a comfortable life and everything they want. But the fact is that often we need to allow our kids to go through some suffering. Can you explain why that is so important?
Yeah, I think it is important. And of course, it goes against everything that's ingrained in us as a parent, I think, to let our children suffer. But we know, I mean, clearly suffering develops character. Now, the challenge for us as a parent is how do we allow our children to suffer without allowing them to be traumatized?
Right.
And I think we do that by being there, by being a safety net, and by using those opportunities to suffer as a learning experience to help them to learn from that and to teach them through that. But yeah, that can be really difficult. You know, I think it's maybe especially for moms to allow them to suffer the consequences of what happens. Even as simple as like if they leave their lunch at home, you don't run them to lunch to their school. They let them go hungry a day, and they probably won't forget their lunch again. But, you know, that'll develop a character. That'll develop a life skill that they need to have to be successful the rest of their life.
Great counsel. Our guest, Rick Johnson, he's the founder of the Better Dads Ministry and the author of 10 Things Great Dads Do. Rick, thanks so much for your time. How can our listeners find out more about you and your work?
Thanks, Bill. Just go to betterdads.net and everything you ever wanted to know and more about us.
All right. Look for Rick's picture there and his smiling face. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.